So today I'd like to welcome Sridhar Sola, who's Director of Mobility Solutions at HP Hewlett Packard's Imaging and Printing sort of group. Sridhar's going to give us an introduction to a venture that he's been running, which came out of HP Corporate Ventures. So, hello Sridhar.
Hi Andrew, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us today for a few questions and giving your experience of how HP has built its venture. Would you mind sort of kicking off with a brief description of your venture and how it was formed sort of within HP, please?
Yeah, no worries. So the name of my venture is called CloudPrint, and this was a part of the HP Corporate Ventures portfolio in the summer of 2007. And the focus of this venture was to enable easy printing when you're mobile. And that was the thought when we started off. And mm-hmm. then we quickly realized that mobile printing is not just the ability to print from a mobile device, but the ability to print when you're truly mobile. And then we also realized that the existing solutions, printing was an experience that was embedded in the operating system and not controlled by a printer manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 700 plus million devices with no ability to print. And people were using those devices for conducting business.
And these devices, you're talking about smartphones and new types of mobile devices, of course.
Yeah, exactly. 700 million of them, we wake up one morning and we say, uh-oh, there is no ability to print from these devices.
Uh-huh.
And we needed a very easy way of, you know, embedding the ability to print, because business happens when you're mobile. And what we did, the first step that we took was we decided to liberate the print experience from the operating system, if you will. So that way, it is portable, so you don't have to have device drivers for every version of every operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was the initial breakthrough that was required, is the ability to embed a print app if the print subsystem was not in the operating system.
So that's a driver which is driven by the technology, the profusion of devices, and how you've talked is quite a technical sort of type solution. In building your venture, can you explain a bit about how the business model works and how people pay and how you make money?
Yeah, fairly simple. There are different realms. When you print at home, you print in the office, and you print on the go.
Mm-hmm.
So different models come into play at different locations. When you print at home, if you're in the Western economies, you know, you usually go by a printer. So, mm-hmm. you know, HP announced earlier this year that every printer that we're going to ship, you know, $99 and up, is going to have what's called ePrint. Which is basically an incarnation of CloudPrint. So that's printing at home, so it's products and supplies, which is a traditional model for HP for printing.
Yep.
And when you're in the office, right, you know, you want to make sure that you use your existing printers, because 10 times out of 10, nobody really cares, you know, if their printout comes out of an HP, Canon, or a Lexmark printer. So we had to work with your existing printers. So within an enterprise, our revenue model is based on basically software and licenses, where we enable printing in a printer-agnostic fashion to your existing enterprise printers. And finally, yep. on the go, you know, we created a marketplace where we brought people who want to print to people who own printers in hotels and airline lounges. And this is a matchmaking business, you know, very similar to some of the popular matchmaking businesses like, you know, iTunes, where you bring in people who develop applications to people who want applications and consume those applications.
Right.
So three business models in three different realms with a common print experience, that is with the same print button, for easy discovery and transport of your content to a printer. So it's fairly simple, but three distinct business models in three realms, all the complexities taken away from an end user.
So the matchmaking on, in this sort of cloud basis you're discussing at the moment, this is now giving you printer access securely at lots of different locations, hotels, retail.
Yeah, I mean, when you walk into Heathrow Terminal 5 next time, Andrew, you know, all you have to do is push a print button, let's say on your BlackBerry, and you can actually see printers around you based on your location. All you have to do is choose the printer that you want to print to. If there is a cost associated with printing, you will know upfront. Or it could be a printer in the duty-free area, wherein you, when you push the print button, you have to go out there to pick up your printouts. And so you're driving footfalls to your location. So when you can pay for eyeballs, footfalls is sometimes more valuable in a retail scenario because there's a potential upsell and there's also a cover sheet filled with coupons. So you're just enabling a new ecosystem here.
Yeah, marvelous. Great. And what have you seen as the most critical challenges in doing this initial proposition, you know, within a corporate sort of environment as you develop this?
It's primarily organizational challenges, I would say that. To give you an example, the first time we started focusing on printing, it was very hard to convince members of the corporation to use the word printer agnostic. Why would we develop a solution that works with all the other printer manufacturers? That's because, you know, people care about the ability to print. They don't care about which printer a page comes out of. So that's an example that flies. That's like almost killing one of your sacred cows.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one example of developing this proposition, wherein the financiers of your venture basically comes from a business unit who's primarily focused on selling your printers. And then you come up with a solution which is printer agnostic. So that was perhaps one of the biggest challenges.
Okay, good. What's your current view of the markets that you're working in? One, to get sort of investments to, you know, internally or externally to develop your venture, and the market conditions for getting this business going in terms of getting new customers and getting new partners and that on board. How have you found that?
I think in terms of market conditions, Mando, I think there were three points that I have. Right now, there is a fantastic availability of workforce at competitive rates.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently, we have seen a surge in acquisitions, so it's very active. And most importantly, the developing economies are growing anywhere between 5 to 7%, and companies are buying tools and solutions to enhance productivity and to cut costs and to streamline operations. So I think the market is good, you know, if you pick and choose what you want to do. So I think the market conditions are fantastic right now for starting new ventures and businesses.
Excellent. So you've got your business up and running. You've got your new matchmaking. You've got over the killing some of the sacred cows to get through your agnostic sort of area. How are you managing the transition of converting these startups into the parent organization? How are you finding that now?
I think that's a whole new beast, but it's a very interesting challenge. And as I mentioned before, you can do venturing in a venturing organization, The tools and tenets of venturing are vastly different. You know, failure is acceptable. You know, you try to fail fast. And also, you're focusing on market needs. Your product development methodology is launch and learn. So you can bring a product to the market as a beta and listen to your customers and keep fine-tuning the product till you hit a sweet spot. And those basic tenets are not applicable in a mainstream business unit. So radically changing the way you develop the product initially, brought to market, and, you know, free positive cash flow and profitability completely changes when you walk into a parent organization. And this is also a new stream of revenue which can sometime, you know, seemingly cannibalize the traditional revenue streams of product and supplies. And so there are challenges, but what we have to do is to firewall and slowly transition all the processes from the venturing, you know, from the best practices of venturing slowly into and adopt that into the mainstream business unit. And I think that's very challenging sometimes. You know, even for the team, you know, it was about launch and learn. If there was a feature that needed to be added, it could be added in less than a couple of hours. And that was okay for a venturing organization. But when you walk into a mainstream products group, you know, you have to go through the product development methodology that's widely accepted and adopted. So it's the transition from a guerrilla warfare to being in an army. There are struggles, and the ability to cope up with those and to transition the team mentally, and also making sure that, you know, we continue to nurture the product. I think that's a fine balance that one has to incorporate.
Very good, very good. In terms of, you know, a number of our HR network, you know, corporate venture members are now really considering how they build new ventures, in emerging markets particularly. And, you know, of the 700 million devices you're talking about, you know, a good proportion of those now are in these new emerging markets and new business areas. What are you seeing as some of the top challenges of being able to develop these new business models in the emerging markets?
The top challenges, you know, in terms of developing new businesses and emerging markets, are primarily associated with, like, the cultural and social idiosyncrasies. To give you an example, like, printing. In a Western market, you just go buy a printer from the aisles of a popular retailer. Just go, you know, $99 or, you know, 60 quid. Just go buy a printer, and you print your printer. In an emerging market, let's take India, for example, printing is a social thing. You have your local Xerox shop or a photocopier shop, and you walk up there with your thumb drive, you sit there, have a cup of coffee, hand the thumb drive over, you know, and printing is accomplished. So printing is a service out there. The sticker shock associated with buying supplies in an emerging market is too high. And, you know, it's cannot be justified sometimes. And also, you bring up a fantastic point. Every farmer, right, I would say a majority of farmers in India perhaps have mobile phones with no GPRS connectivity, but a decent camera. And they take these photographs, and even the poorest farmer would like to have his daughter's wedding photograph on his mantle. So how is he going to, you know, who suddenly has come into a possession of a camera through his phone, actually get that photo developed? Now, you have these little trucks or autos that go from village to village on a periodic basis with a little printer. And, you know, every Monday at, let's say, 9 or 10 a.m., you know, all the people in the village gather and they come with their little phones, and you have this little technician who picks up their SIM cards and, you know, transfers data from the phone and gets those photographs printed. So printing is a services-based it's a service. Mm-hmm. But in the Western economies, it's a product. So one has to understand that. The second part is, you know, the value-conscious morals. You know, when I say this, if you look at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the emerging markets are just coming bottom-up, right? I mean, they've basically satisfied all their basic needs, and, you know, they're very value-conscious, unlike the top-down approach in the Western economies, if you look, you know, if you look at the hierarchy of needs, where morals associated with piracy are very closely guarded.
Yes.
But, you know, if you actually look at even textbooks, there is in universities, people photocopy textbooks until, you know, there was an Eastern Economy edition that came up, and that has vastly reduced. So that's just an example. So what is piracy? What is considered piracy?
Is
basically a real market need for a value-conscious market. So similarly, when people... let's say you have a 160-gig iPod, and if you bought all songs at 99 cents, you would end up spending close to around $18,000, a kind of money that, you know, is hard to come by in a year or two in the emerging economies. And so one has to identify that. And the same argument goes with, you know, supplies revenue and the ability to adapt to those markets is vitally important. And
so the new business model you're providing under ePrint satisfies a different market and a different approach that you've got really for these emerging markets, as well as satisfying the Western sort of areas which you've touched on that as well.
Good,
Sridhar. Thank you very much for giving us insights into your ventures. What do you do for hobbies or with your time when you're not building this new business and that for HP?
I have a 3.5-year-old son. He keeps me busy, and my wife is a musician, so I'm usually driving talent around and taking my son around and making sure that he gets to all his classes. In addition to that, you know, I try to run a marathon or two a year, triathlons. I love to climb. I like high altitudes. I've traveled to, like, you know, 50 or, you know, 55 countries, and I continue to travel and try and see as much as possible. So that's my life.
Excellent. So just one final thing. In terms of if we've got BlackBerries or other mobile devices and want to get the HP service, where do we go on the web or whatever to sign up for this?
Oh, it's free, first of all, and it's just an application that you download. It's at www.hp.com/go/eprintmobile, one word, eprintmobile, and download that, play around with it. You should be able to print to a lot of locations in London.
Excellent. That's great, Sridhar. Thank you very much. And we've got the pleasure of you speaking at our HI Thought Leadership Forum on the 7th of October, where we'll be discussing more generally with our members these challenges of building new ventures. So finally, thank you very much for your time, Sridhar, and really appreciate it.
Andrew, I look forward to being there. Thank you for the